Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for your precious promises, Lord. We thank you for the covenant, the everlasting covenant that you made with Abraham. We thank you that that covenant includes us, spiritual children of Abraham, and that through Abraham and his seed would come the Messiah. Thank you. Thank you for fulfilling all of those promises already. And the second coming we are looking forward to, and we know that that promise will be fulfilled as well. So this morning, as we see the many promises that you have included in that covenant to Abraham, help us to understand and be more thankful and more grateful for what you have given us and the standing that we have because of what you've done, Lord Jesus. Sins forgiven just by your grace. And so lead us now in this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're in Genesis 17. We were there last week as well, verse 1, when we had God telling Abraham, I am El Shaddai, Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. So the only part in this covenant that Abraham has to do is to walk and be blameless and then circumcise every male child, as we will see later today. But everything else is all one-sided from God. And so we will look at 13 I wills today. And with those I wills, I think we will see these are all I wills from God's standpoint. We will see a greater understanding of this covenant. So let's begin by just singing this old hymn, or fairly, I don't know how old it is, but singing this song anyway, Standing on the Promises of God. So it's at the top of the page of first page of your notes. Standing on the Promises of Christ the King through eternal ages, let his praises ring.
Christ the King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promise, standing on the promise. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promise, standing on the promise. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him with our belief and our song for. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God.
I'm glad to hear some amens to that. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, chapter 17, as we continue with the dialogue with God and Abraham, and just a little bit of review here. You know, Abraham, or Abram at that point anyway, was 75 years old when he left Terah, when his father, or when he left Haran, when Terah, his father, died. And of course, that promise was made to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So that was the beginning promise there in chapter 12. And then we move on through. And last week, as we were into chapter 17, we mentioned that the last verse in chapter 16 reads, Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. So that tells us that it was 11 years after he left Haran that they took matters into their own hands, Sarah and Abram, and had Hagar bear Ishmael to Abram. And then we moved on into 17, and that was 99 years old now, so that was 13 years later. And this is where we are today still. We'll be in 17 this day. And last week we had verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And so we were looking at that verse last week. And today we want to look at verse 2 through 21. And in those verses, there are 13 I wills that God is going to do in conjunction with this covenant. And so I think it gives us some insight into what all this will include. And verse 2 says, I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. So that's the first couple of wills there. And then verse 3, then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, so the only thing so far Abram's done now is fall on his face that we have. But that's good, isn't it? We need to worship too, don't we? Absolutely. And God continues, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. And now here he changes his name, puts a ha in it. No longer shall your name be called Abram, which is exalted father, but your name shall be Avraham. Avraham is the father of nations, or the father of a multitude of nations. And here it says in the New King James, for I have made you a father of many nations. So that's basically what the name means. So he's changed his name from an exalted father to a father of many nations. From now on, he's referred to with a ha in it, Abraham. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, another I will, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. So continuing on with what God is going to do, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for what? It's a 12-year covenant, right? No way. It's for an everlasting covenant. An everlasting covenant. How long is an everlasting covenant? It's everlasting. Yes, very good. To be God to you and your descendants after you. So that includes us. We're spiritual descendants of his. And of course, this is to his natural descendants as well. Also, I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. So those today who are trying to divide up the land of Israel, they're not going to succeed. They can sign peace treaties and they can build whatever they want to build and drop whatever bombs they want to drop, but it's not going to change God's promise of an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, I don't think that's happened yet, but he is their God, but they haven't accepted him yet, but they will. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep. Here's the one thing that he needs to do now. Between me and your descendants after you, every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house, or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendants. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. That would even include any hired work, slaves, or anything else. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Now there again, everlasting. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now I think we just need to add, the circumcision itself, in and of itself, the procedure doesn't make you holy. It doesn't make you acceptable in God's eyes any more than saying, well, Jesus died for me, therefore I'm saved. I've got to believe it, right? Yeah. And you've got to be following the Lord to confirm what you believe with that covenant, or it's not going to be binding. And today, for the years, really, the Jews have passed down, well, I'm circumcised, so therefore I'm holy and clean and all that. Well, they're not. And the circumcision itself does not circumcise, as we'll see here with Ishmael. He's to be circumcised too, but it won't do him any good, as we'll see in this regard. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah. Again, the ha being added. But Sarah shall be her name, and really that probably is translated princess or mother of many nations. Verse 16, and I will, with regard to Sarah, I will bless her, and also I will give you a son by her. So this is where the first time we have the promise that the son, he's promised, is going to come from Sarah, old Sarah, 90 years old or 89. And I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. There's the name. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face. Here he falls on his face again. Now this time he laughs. But it's like an incredulous. I mean, you know, or he's, I don't know what it is. But anyway, he laughs and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? So, it's, Lord, my, oh my, are you sure? Yeah. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. So Abraham says, I've already got a son. You know, Ishmael, he's 13 years old, and he's a wonderful young man. I didn't say that, but I think that's what he's talking about here. And God said, no, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call him name Isaac, Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, not with Ishmael, but with Isaac, and with his descendants after him. Later we'll see with Jacob. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you, I heard your prayer. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. Lots of people, and he did. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Very specific. And of course, we'll see later in Genesis 22 where God will say, take your son, your only son, Isaac, right? So Isaac is the son of the promise. Ishmael was the son of the flesh and was not God's plan. Verse 22, then he finished talking with him and God went up from Abraham. So the conversation ends. When God finishes talking with you, that's the end of the conversation. I mean, you can continue to talk, but he's done talking, right? That's what we read here. So what do we have here? Well, we have this everlasting covenant being given to Abraham and to those who will come through him. And the thread here is belief. We need to believe. We need to believe. We need to believe God and all his promises. And how many have already been fulfilled? You know, many, many, many have been fulfilled, haven't they? Here we are, but in a great position. I mean, we're between the first and second coming, so we can see the two comings. Before the first coming, it was almost impossible to see two comings. You didn't know what that meant, but now we see that very clearly. The Messiah has come. He's been born. He has died. He has been buried. He has been resurrected. He has been established his presence here on earth for 40 days. And then he has ascended into heaven. And we know that in Acts chapter 2, we had the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, when he was crucified, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on all believers. So you as a believer, and I as a believer, we have the Spirit in us, don't we? And then we also have the opportunity to be filled to overflowing with the Spirit, as Jesus told the disciples in the 8th verse of chapter 1, what you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, not just in you, but upon you, overflowing from you, and you shall be my witnesses in Samaria, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So the covenant is made, and it's marked in under Abraham's natural seed by the sign of circumcision. But Paul will later tell us circumcision of itself means nothing. You're no more holy if you're circumcised or if you're uncircumcised. What has to be circumcised? The heart. The heart has to be circumcised. Not part of our anatomy outside, but inside. Inside, we have to be circumcised of heart, and our hearts have to be open to Him, believing what He has done for us. Father, we thank you that this covenant is so one-sided because it is all that you have done. Our salvation is almost all one-sided. All we have to do is believe. We can't add to it. It is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. And over we see you only needed to be sacrificed once. You only needed to be smitten once. And Lord, it's perfectly done. And so we can be no more holy ever than we are right now. We can be no more pure or saved, really, I should say saved, than the moment we first believed, because that is what is required of us. So help our unbelief, Lord. May it be not overwhelmed with the flesh and with the world and with Satan. And we know that no temptation has overtaken us that's not common to all of us, but that you are faithful and you will provide the way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. And so, Lord, thank you for that promise. So, Lord, as we come to you this morning, guide our prayers, that we would pray effectively in those areas that you would have us to bring to prayer. We know we need to pray for the lost. We need to pray for your church. We need to pray for kings and those in authorities. We need to pray for others that you would put in our lives. And, Lord, a little later as we break into small groups, we can bring in the personal prayers. But Lord, now we want to just pray as the body, as led by the Spirit. So lead us now in Jesus' name. Thank you.
let it be.
Father, we thank you for meeting us again this morning, and your faithfulness is just so overwhelming, Lord. Just go with each one today as we go, and Lord, may you be honored in our hearts, and Lord, just help us, help all of us to remember that if we draw near to you, you draw near to us. You are so faithful. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.